Well, it's Saturday, January 9th. I thought I'd do a quick update on variants in the U.S. This is based upon the CDC updating their map. They have started a map for the UK or B.1.1.7 variant. That's the only one that's been reported in the U.S. Although there was one reported yesterday in Alberta, Canada, for the 501B2, which is the variant out of South Africa. That was, I believe, with a traveler, and the details of the ones in the U.S. aren't clear from the CDC map. The CDC basically colors in states that have a variant identified, and then if you hover over the state, it gives you the number. The page indicates they're going to update on Tuesday and Thursday, but they updated yesterday, and the number, the total for the U.S. has increased now from 52 to 63. I still don't have any information on what's going on in Florida. There are 22 there. Media really hasn't said anything other than citing the CDC page and indicating that Florida has almost half of the variants, and the only one they can cite is the one in Martin County, which is actually just north of where Scripps Clinic has a facility. And I still suspect that Scripps has something to do with getting 22 positives, that there was one nearby and they used the S dropout to pick up the other ones. That speculation at this time is still not clear, but those numbers didn't change. That's still at 22. The number in California has now gone up to 32. Media reports had suggested that there were 28 in San Diego, with four contacts being positive on PCR, so it was likely to go up to 32. And then they cited three more confirmed. It's not clear if that was would bring up the total number of potential cases up to 35, or that was just confirmation of three out of the four that were suspect. But anyway, that is now up to 32 on the CDC map. The other increase was in Colorado. They're now showing three. It's likely that those three are the two National Guardsmen, as well as one of their contacts. Like I say, there's no real detail. In addition, their map now has the two in Connecticut. Those sequences were released. They added the one that was reported in Pennsylvania, that Dauphin County. And they've got the one that was reported in Texas and Harris County. And then they have one in Georgia, and I believe that is it. So the limitation on their map is there's no real detail. They just show how many are there, and it's not clear if they'll be updating more frequently or not. Speaking of the CDC, the task force described a new variant. Well, they didn't really describe it. They speculated that there was a new variant in the U.S. It was not based on any sequence information. It was simply based upon the rate of increase. So there were some states that were increasing cases at a rate that was 50% higher than it's been. And they speculated that there was a variant. The sequences really aren't lagging that much. There has been some efforts to update the data. So at a minimum, many of the states do have sequences from samples that were collected in November or December. And therefore, those sequences should have picked up any dramatic increase in a new variant that's circulating. It's not clear what, well, I don't think they had any definition. I don't think the task force has any information on sequences. The lack of sequencing in some of these decisions is not new. It was clear way back when SARS-1 happened over 17 years ago. It's also true for influenza that they've got divisions that do the sequencing, but the sequencing results never really get incorporated into reports. It's a little better now than it's been, but this example of citing a new variant, not defining the new variant, and not being able to cite what the new variant looks like is an example where the task force seems to be totally disconnected with real sequences that are deposited. Now, the sequences deposited usually at the beginning, they show up very quickly. They haven't really been that fast. The 32 in Southern and San Diego County were really cited almost a week ago now. There have not been any new sequences. There was the original sequence out of Scripps. There was the first one in San Diego. It was a 30-year-old, no travel history. And then three more came out, but they were actually officially released by the CDC, although I think they followed the same pattern that they have. They have a lab there that was Helix Illumina lab that's actually in San Diego. And I think that they did the screening, and I think they did the S-drop assay, and then they handed the samples over to Scripps, who actually did the sequencing of them, but it really just says CDC on the characterization sheet. But like I say, there are still only four sequences that are public out of San Diego. There are two out of San Bernardino County. The two in Connecticut are public. The one in New York is public. The one out of Colorado is public, and the one out of Florida in Martin County is public. The additional sequences in Florida might give some clue as to where they're coming from. And the additional sequences in San Diego might give a little more information, probably won't. It'll give information whether it's a single introduction or whether there are multiple introductions, because there now are in the neighborhood of 30 or more in San Diego County. And the other sequences are coming out on the slow side. The Connecticut's actually came out the day they were announced. So that's because they were announced, several days after they were first identified. So that came out very quickly. New York came out very quickly, and Florida came out relatively quickly. So the sequences that are available and are on the map did come out pretty close to when they were announced. And then these follow-on, these increases in states that have already announced, they, for some reason, have been very slow. The map is getting full. There are over 400 sequences that are on the map. And actually, behind, there's a very big group out of Ireland and another reasonable size group from the Netherlands that I have to get caught up on. Some of these areas are going to turn into the too many to count category, and it's going to be difficult to keep adding them. On the vaccine front, there is some data now to say that the vaccine is recognizing the variants, at least if they do some of these mutations one at a time, the 501 N501Y is in both variants, and that apparently is recognized by the vaccine. They've been kind of doing these one at a time. It's not really clear how well that mimics what the real world is. I'm not clear why they don't do them like they do for flu, whereas for flu, they basically have the neutralizing antibodies against the immunogen. In this case, it would be the basic SARS-CoV-2, the one out of Wuhan. And then they would test that for the ability to neutralize new isolates. Now, of course, you need live virus to do that. And maybe they're not doing that type of direct assay because they don't want to keep live virus of the coronavirus around. They probably need a level three lab to do that in. So maybe that's why they're not doing it. They're instead doing these constructs. So they have viruses that they grow that have one mutation at a time. And they're essentially putting the S gene on a on another background. So they're not really working with the coronavirus itself. They're just using its envelope in the neutralizations. But what has been reported is somewhat encouraging, although it's really not clear whether they've targeted the E484 in the South African strain, that there is data that that is not recognized. And just as an aside, I had predicted that when both of these variants are widely circulating, that they'll lead to recombinants that'll have part of one mixed with part of another. And just recently in the UK, there were two of the UK variants that actually do have the E484K added to the spike gene. So they have the change that's not recognized well by, well, is suspected not to be well recognized by the vaccine. And that's on a background of UK, which is what the prediction would be, that the virus will escape. It'll use something that works on one strain and put it on another strain. And I've toyed with making another map of sequences that have this particular change, because there are a number of variants in the making, homegrown variants that have various components of the two well-described variants. And those are kind of potentially capable of leading to other variants that include these changes in the protein in the spike gene that allows it to escape the immune system. And one other note, yesterday was another record on the number of deaths in the US, it was about 4,000 again. So that's 3 days in a row that each day broke the prior day's record or the prior record. So a new record was set on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It's the weekend, so it probably will not be another new record set until Tuesday. But these numbers are likely to continue to increase on the number of fatal cases reported in the U.S., as well as the number of cases in general added each day in the U.S.